You can see why I think that video is hilarious. Just a glimpse into the chaos that surrounds Easter and holidays and exactly what kids are looking for. And it's the sort of thing, the first time I watched it, I'm like, is this, like, I feel like I'm going to get arrested or something. I'm like, can I just laugh at children? Like, they're like the happiest people in the world. And so you're kind of like, you don't know if you can laugh. And you're like, okay, this is hilarious. And you're like, no, I don't know if I should laugh. And you go back and forth like three times. That video is funny, all right? I don't care who you are or what you think. It's a funny video, and it's funny because of this reason, because you're seeing exactly what they're excited about, their thing, right, in life. That's like all they have. Like, they're going to wake up and watch cartoons and then, like, eat Butterfingers all day, right? And the one thing that they thought they had is just gone, right? And it's funny to see. And so I did that to my kids today just to teach them a lesson and give them life skills. No, I didn't. I'm not that bad of a dad, all right? But imagine if that happened to you. Imagine if you just had, you know, exactly what you were focused on taken from you. You guys have probably heard, maybe you were here when church started. Many of us weren't, though, because we were from the suburbs and we like to be fashionably late to places. We played the song Happy that's all over America right now by Pharrell, right? And you see that song and you hear it everywhere, and like every time you go in Walmart it's playing, and it's on every radio station, like every other song, even on country formats. They just play it all the time because it's saturating America, right? But that song is talking about happiness, and you see these videos going viral of people dancing all over America, and everyone's talking about happiness and what happiness is to them, and you look at these kids and you think, all right, their happiness was taken away, but then you're like, well, that's because they're kids, right? I mean, I don't care if someone takes a Butterfinger, I'll just go buy more candy because I have a job and I make a ton of money. I'm an adult, right? I could buy enough candy to make myself sick. And yet, what if we substitute that video and we put adults in there? What if someone just hid your iPhone for an hour, right? Just to watch us all freak out. I think it was last Saturday. It was like 8 days ago. Instagram took their servers down. I was trying to like upload a picture, and it was like life as I knew it had ended. Right? I'm just like hitting retry. What if someone took the things that we find happiness in? What if someone just eliminated them and took them away? What if someone took our car for the day, our prized SUV, our motorcycle? What if someone took your new expensive purse or your Easter outfit that you had picked out? What if someone took the thing that we find happiness and joy and put all of our stock in? See, here's the thing. We laugh at those kids because the thing that they have is temporary and stupid. We all know the candy's going to rot, and they're not going to eat most of it, and then their mom's going to hide it on top of the fridge and throw it away when they go to bed in like 5 days anyway, right? And it's funny because we're laughing at them, and yet it's the same thing for us. All of the things that they're crying about are temporary and they're not a big deal. And all the things that we find happiness in are temporary and they're not a big deal. And honestly, they're cheap imitations, right? I mean, if it came down to it, all right, your house is on fire, what are you going to grab? You can grab like one or two things. Are you going to be like, my iPhone, it's all I've ever wanted? Or are you going to go for pictures that can't be replaced? Or are you going to go for maybe family members, huh? That'd be a good one too, right? Maybe you'd want to go grab them ahead of your iPhone. And yet we put so much stock into things. We put so much of our happiness into things that can be replaced, that are temporary, and that really don't matter. Because as we live life, we want to live life as we want. And I don't know if you've ever heard a spoken word, or maybe you couldn't catch what I was saying a while ago. We wanted to put those words up on the screen. But there's a story that Jesus told that we want to kind of park on today and talk about. And it tells the story of how we find happiness away from where we should, how we find happiness in other things, and how we don't look for happiness in our Father, but we go away to find happiness. And so I want to invite you to turn in your Bible today to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. If you've got a Bible under your chair, hopefully you've got that, you've got a phone, or maybe you brought your copy of the Bible, but we want to direct you to Luke chapter 15 on the Bible that has like a swamp theme on the front, a nature picture. It's page 800, and if you've got the tan one that says second edition, it's page 798, just to help you out. So somewhere around pages 798 to 800, you'll find Luke 15, but this is the story of the prodigal son, and this story just simply is Jesus showing us, are the things that we chase after things that are going to give us true happiness? Are the things that we chase after things that we can be found in, or are they cheap imitations that will end and will run dry? And so let me read this to us together. This is Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and it says this. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, his younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired hand.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him." Verse 21, "His son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of his servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the calf we were fattening and has prepared a great feast. We're celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, 'All these years I worked hard for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the finest calf we have.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found.'" I love that story. I love that story because of the obvious reason that Jesus told it, because it applies to us, it applies to you, and it applies to me. And that's the story that Jesus told to illustrate how we live our lives. Maybe you're reading that story and you're thinking, okay, there's a lot of characters, I'm not sure which one I'm found in here. Often we're the younger son. The younger son had everything he could ever want, everything he could ever need was found in his home where he was with his dad. And his dad had worked hard to give him everything that he could ever want, everything he could ever need, and had given him this life. And yet the son wasn't content. He looked off in the distance and thought, "I want that. I want that over there. I don't want to be here." And so he basically did the virtual version of spitting in his dad's face and took off and ran away from his dad's house and his dad's estate and everything his dad wanted to give him. And he went off and pursued a good time. Maybe you see yourself in that son, because the Bible tells us that we were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God to know God and to be in relationship with him. And we see that in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They would walk with God and talk with God. But instead of living to know God and honoring him, Adam and Eve made a mistake and turned their back on God, and sin entered the world. And because sin entered the world, we have what's called a sin nature in us. And we too choose to turn our backs on God and look away from him and run from him. And I know that we like to think that we're all great. We like to think that we have special talents and things that make us awesome. But the Bible tells us that every one of us has that sin nature. Every one of us has sinned and has messed up. See, for some people it's selfishness, and for others it's relationships and sex and ways that they turn their back on God and don't honor him. And yet some people turn their back on God in the name of good things, right? They make their family into an idol. I saw a quote this week from a guy that said that his work on gun control was going to get him into heaven because it was so important, right? And yet if we go back to those verses in the Bible, there's nothing we can do, not even the best work on gun control, not even working with any non-for-profit, not even the way that we love our family. Nothing that we can do can take the sin out of our lives, can take the selfishness out of our lives, can make us right with God. And the Bible tells us that the sin that we have in our lives, the decisions that we made, the things that are present in our hearts as we've turned our back on God and our Father and our home and what he's given us, and we've run away from him with our lives, the Bible tells us that the price of those things, the price of sin, is death. It's to be separated from God. It's to not know God. It's to not be in relationship with him. And some of us have never thought about that because we're still too busy running and going and pursuing happiness and looking for the next Easter egg hunt and the next thing and the next bucket of candy. There's always more partying to be done, right? And there's always a nicer house to have, and there's always more that we can do, and yet, as you've done those things, every party ends. Every relationship eventually lets you down. Every house eventually settles into the foundation, and there are cracks, and you have to start spackling the walls, and there's a nicer house down the road than you, or someone has nicer stuff. And every job that you have, you still have a boss, and you still have someone that talks down to you. And so all of the things that we try to put into our lives for happiness end up leaving us just feeling empty and falling short. I mentioned that we were created in the image of God to know God. And because of that, there's only one thing in this life that can fulfill us. It's the love, and it's the relationship of God our Father. It's the love that is found when we know Him. When we're made complete in Him. So we were created to know God, but unfortunately sin in our hearts and sin in our lives separates us from Him. And the price of that sin is to be separated from God and to not know Him. And that's essentially what hell is. We hear about the concept of hell. Hell is the absence of God. I don't think we even fathom what it would be like to be absent of God and not be in His presence in some way. And yet, the price of sin is death, but the Bible tells us the gift of God is eternal life. The gift that God is offering us through Jesus Christ, His Son, is not death, is not what our sins deserve, is not where our sins will get us. It's eternal life. It's knowing Jesus and having life and being found in Him so that we have a bridge, so that we have a path, so that we have access to God the Father. See, God sent Jesus. Not because we had a coupon, right? And we'd be like, hey, God, I've sinned, I've kind of messed up. I'm going to trade this in. I need you to bail me out and save me, right? No, that's not why God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus because He loves us, because He cares about us. God sent Jesus completely out of grace because we didn't deserve it. But He wanted to give Him freely. And Jesus isn't just this feel-good word that people say on Easter when they're singing and holding their hands up. Jesus was both God and both man. And I don't know how to explain that. The older I get more and more confused by it. I was trying to talk about it to my son the other day. And how do you explain that someone is God and man, and yet that's what the Bible tells us? And so Jesus lived a life on earth, and He lived a perfect life. He was tempted just like us, and he was tempted to lose His temper and yell at people, and people were mean to Him and did all kinds of things, and yet he was without sin. He never messed up. And so later in His life, when He was accused of things, when He was controversial and people said, let's kill Him, let's murder Him, let's crucify Him, and He was put on a cross, He wasn't up there because He deserved it, but He went to that cross willingly, out of grace, so that He could take our sin, our punishment, and the things that we deserve on Himself. And He was crucified, and He was murdered, and our sin died with Him. It was taken away, gone, erased, forgotten. See, the reason that Easter is a big deal is not because Cadbury runs their eggs 2-for-1, or because this crazy church rented a helicopter and everybody gets to go get stampeded at a local park or anything like that, right? The reason that Easter is a big deal is because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated sin and gave us life. He gave us access to God the Father and conquered the things that separated us. He conquered the things that held us back. And so this is the gospel. I want to put this slide up. And often we hear the gospel, share the gospel, Christians and the gospel and Easter and all these words, and we don't know what it means. This is simply the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Right? If it was up to me, guys, and I've got a couple sons, right? And if I even had to give one, you're all in trouble. I'm just going to like get in my car and drive away and be like, sorry about your sin, guys. Sorry about your luck. God had one son and He gave Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, will not be separated from God, will not spend eternity in hell, will not know death, but will have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the point of Easter. The point of Easter is life. The point of Easter is not death, is not temporary happiness, is not candy, is not egg drops, is not getting together with family or going to grandma's and eating ham. The point of Easter is that we have life through Jesus. That's something to get excited about. It's something that we're excited about. It's something that we get together and we celebrate, and we want to tell this room, we want to tell the world about that. Not because we want to be fake, not because we want to force things on them, but some people have never stopped to think about where their life is headed or where they're going. They've never stopped to think, okay, are the things that I'm filling my life with actually making me happy? Or is this just eventually some candy that's going to run out? Am I eventually going to get fired and replaced with someone younger? Then I won't have the cool job with the great salary. Am I eventually going to lose my health and my athletic ability? Am I eventually going to lose these friends? Am I going to have to move? Is college going to end? The things that make us happy, the things that fulfill us, the things that we think matter for eternity or somehow make us good enough, do we realize that there's just nothing about them that's really going to matter? For the first time, are we pausing and thinking that the love of Christ, the relationship of our Father and the relationship of being home in our heart with Him is all that can complete us, is all that can fulfill us. We have some people who have made a decision to trust Christ. They've made a decision to follow Him, and they're excited about that, and we're excited about that. And so as we explain the gospel today, as we talk about being found in Christ, as we talk about having life in Him, we want to give them a chance to come up and tell their stories and take that public. And so I'm going to invite Damon and Stephanie up, and I want to just give them a chance to tell you their stories. They've made a decision to be publicly baptized today. And baptism is another word that sometimes can be confusing. This is all it means. They've given their lives to Jesus. They have a relationship with Jesus. They're found in Him. And they want to publicly say that to the world. Here's my life. Here's my relationship with Jesus. I want to share that with you. And so I want to invite them up just to give them a chance to talk to you, to tell their stories. You guys can...